You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tis the season for festive football, and the best way to watch it? Down at your local Green King Sports Pub, of course. After all, Christmas is a time to catch up with friends, old and new. So get the team to your local for refreshing pints, delicious food, and live action of every Christmas cracker. Every fixture from TNT, Sky, and Amazon is live at Green King Sport. That means wall-to-wall action on our huge HD screens. Head to your local Green King and watch every winning goal, top bins volley, and dodgy VAR decision in an atmosphere worth sharing. Download the Green King Sport app and you'll receive 10% off drinks every single time there's sport on the telly. Ladies and gentlemen, Spurs fans around the world, boys and girls, welcome to another Spurs show, and this is a special one. It's our Christmas special, live from the legendary Dingwalls in London's Camden Town. Yay! Welcome everybody. I've got three esteemed guests with me tonight to assess the state of play in the world of Tottenham Hotspur. First of all, at the other end of the table here, my co-host at the Spurs show, the head honcho, the big cheese, Mr. Mike Lee.
Good evening. Hey. Good evening, everyone. Thank you, Theo.
Sitting to Mike's right, a regular on the live nights, legendary journalist, Mr. Jerry Cox.
Thank you, Theo. What a great intro. Always happy to be here.
And with me, to my left, an absolute legend, DJ, Mr. Good Times himself, the great Norman Jay.
Woo! Studying here.
Well, thank goodness we won yesterday. Otherwise, what a terrible atmosphere we'd have here. But we didn't just win, we won big. It finally came good. We've had a few weeks of outplaying teams, especially at home, and not winning. And there we were yesterday. We absolutely ran rings round the barcodes of Newcastle United. And I felt finally got what we deserved. What did you make of it, Mike?
Well, I mean, it was interesting that with the results we've had recently, a few people were wobbling. Again, you know, the Spurs show Facebook group could be quite a toxic place. Always gone by Christmas. All this craziness. The one person who truly believes in the project is Postecoglou. If you know anything about him, we had John Grecian on early in the season, who written a great book about Postecoglou, his previous jobs. He's had his highs and lows wherever he's gone. Japan, he struggled. Celtic struggled early on. The one person that will play the same way every time and not compromise at all is our coach. And we saw that. We saw that the weekend. We went out. Absolutely fantastic. What an amazing first half. Lovely to see Richarlison back in his actual position. That I think he was pretty much bought as a backup to Kane. They thought maybe Kane might have gone previously. Postecoglou came out in the press conference and said, we played him on the left to manage this injury that this, obviously he's had the operation now. And he was in the right place at the right time for two of the goals. And again, the second half we kept going. You know, there's previous, well, God knows, Spurs, at 2-0 is it safe, at 3-0 is it safe. We just keep going. We just keep going for more and more goals. And this is the Tottenham now we're seeing. So it's an absolute joy. It really is.
Fantastic. I mean, Richarlison, hopefully that operation, that little operation, is a turning point. He certainly does look rejuvenated, doesn't he? Yeah. Norman, I know with your incredibly busy schedule that you don't get to see Spurs every game, and I know that yesterday was the first time you saw them at home this season. So I'm intrigued to know what you made of them, the new Postecoglou model Tottenham Hotspur.
Well, I didn't know too much about him, really. Hadn't done my homework on him. But what I was hearing from friends of mine whose opinions I respect about football, particularly about Tottenham, is that this guy is going to bring you something different. And it was a few weeks before I heard one of his interviews, and I knew then, and I can honestly say this hand on heart, I like this guy. I think he gets us. Because to be perfectly honest, I've been fed up, like a lot of Tottenham fans, with the previous managers. I think there was not a lack of respect, but I don't think a lot of the squad bought into that whole defensive Italian way of doing things. And he was, to me, like a breath of fresh air. Plain speaking English. That's what the dressing room needed. That's what the dressing room responds to. Now, I've seen my first home game. Love that. And just when the players came out, I was thinking to myself, the last previous defeats that we'd had, strangely, I was unmoved. I wasn't bothered by that. Years ago, one game down, you think, Tottenham. Two games down, they've gone all Spursy. But personally speaking, you know, even after three defeats, I wasn't disillusioned by what I'd seen. I still haven't bought into the playing out from the back thing entirely. I think that's, you know, we forgot what we were doing. That's how Newcastle scored. We gave it to them. A little bit of switching off. But so long as we're playing a brand of football that I haven't seen over Tottenham in years, and more importantly, it's the mood that's around the club. I can honestly say, as someone who hasn't even been, you know, been supporting this club since I was that big, there is a freshness, there is an air of expectancy, and it starts with the football that we're being served. I love it.
Yeah. Well, that's good to hear, because it's good because you came to it fresh yesterday, so it's interesting to hear. Jerry, so many good performances yesterday. Who stood out for you?
Well, it's hard to pick out one, really, because I was doing a match report, and you have to give marks out of 10. The Newcastle ones were easy to do. Kieran Trippier, I mean, we used to love him, but boy, he had a poor game yesterday, thankfully. So he was a 5 straight away. For Spurs, it was 7s, 8s and 9s. And tough to pick them. I mean, Richarlison, 2 goals. And not just the goals, the tenacity. He was coming back deep into the centre circle, winning balls. He's got that hunger, you know. But he's fit again. He looks properly fit. So that was great. 2 goals and everything else. Sonny as well. I thought Basuma was back to his best. Saar was sensational. If anyone reads my report, Pedro Porro only got a 7 in mind, but actually looking back on it last night, watching Massin, because you do these on the minutes
to do
after
them quickly,
the game.
Yeah.
Watching it back again last night, Pedro Porro was that's definitely his best game in a Spurs shirt.
Yeah.
So there were lots of good performances, but I think the thing that stands out for me above the, I mean, I was one of those not doubting Ange Postecoglou by any measure. I was just thinking, are the players really up to what he wants from them? And after the previous couple of games, well, Thursday night's game, let's not mention it too much, but
after that, I'm thinking, have we got the players for this? You know, is he, are they really got it? Mm. And the response yesterday was fantastic. And what was, to me, what was most significant was afterwards, and all the talk about Newcastle with all their injuries, you know, like Spurs, 10 injuries, 10 first-team players, sort of, or 10 players that would be, you'd expect to play probably injured. And for the first time, Postecoglou has had a month or more to talk about the injuries, and he hasn't said a word, he hasn't used that excuse. Mm. And yesterday afterwards, on the back of a win, he said, well, look, maybe I've been a bit harsh on our players. I won't let them use injuries as an excuse. But we have been, you know, he said, decimated after the Chelsea game. And he said, I know what Newcastle are going through. If you're not 100%, if you've got a couple of players out, you are going to struggle in this Premier League. Mm. And to hear him say that, I thought he's been protecting the players. And he's also, he's absolutely right. The timing was perfect. It's almost like everything he says, you sort of, you buy into it, you believe it. You think, this. I know what this guy's saying, I respect it. And if we, as cynical journalists, think like that, and fans, you know, we've seen it all, then the players must absolutely respond to that sort of leadership. So I thought, for all the great performances on the pitch, again, Postecoglou, massive, 10 out of 10.
Man of the match.
Yeah.
I mean, the extraordinary thing is that if you look at how well we were going, of course, we were unbeaten, I think, in the first 10 games. In fact, we won 8 of them. That maybe you could make a case for the two most outstanding players amongst many, many great performers were Maddison and Van de Ven. And we're still without them, and we're going to be without them for a while. So, actually, if we can play like that yesterday without them, when we get them back, you start to think, well, you know, maybe we can... We'll start winning almost every game again. Now, you do rather feel that. But unfortunately, the only thing is, maybe all these injuries clear up, but we've got these, we've got the African tournament and the Asian tournament coming up in January. That is going to rob us of Bissouma, Sarr, and those two being together, I thought, was a crucial thing yesterday, because they hadn't played together as a pair for some weeks, had they? And that really made a difference. And we're also going to lose Sonny. How much does that worry you, Mike? You look worried.
Well, no, I mean, we're talking, Jerry, you've looked into it. It's Asian Cup in Qatar. He could be out for 6 weeks.
Yeah,
if they go all the way,
yeah,
he goes on New Year's Day and could be out to like mid-February, you said.
Well, the tournament runs mid-January to mid-February. Right. There's a couple of at least one warm-up game in the middle of, in January in Abu Dhabi. So I think the New Year's Eve game against Bournemouth is his last one.
Right.
South Korea, easily the best team in their group, so they'll go through, and one of the best teams in the competition. They could go right through to the final, really, and that goes on till I think the 14th of February. So that's not great. I mean, it's what we signed up to, I suppose, when you sign players from Asian countries. The annoying thing is, like everything else, you know, I was looking at that thinking, well, why isn't this tournament, why isn't FIFA done this, you know, coordinated calendar? And the tournament should have been in the summer last year, but in China. But because of COVID, they can't guarantee countries coming in, restrictions. So they had a redraw. Qatar won it, but of course they can't play it in the summer. It's way too hot. So they're playing it in the middle of our season. So as well as AFCON, you've got the Asia Cup. And, you know, to be honest, we are, Tottenham are going to suffer much more than any other Premier League side from losing a key player to that tournament. I think AFCON is slightly different because a lot of the top clubs have players who are going to be playing in that. But, but the Asian Cup, Spurs are really good.
The African players are more, you know, to lose Bissouma and Sarr, who have been two of the star players this season as well.
Yeah.
But it's interesting, again, reading about Postecoglou, wherever he's gone. There's always a churn of players. He looks at all the players. Normally, a lot of the senior players don't buy into the new style because it's nuts.
Yeah.
There's no positions, you know, with a bombing ahead, fullbacks, you know, or Sarr, you know, scores, and what's he doing there?
Yeah.
But you can see the players that have... Ben Davis, I thought, was fantastic as well.
Very
underrated this season. You look at Dyer. I know Dyer's been injured. Maybe Dyer hasn't bought into it as much. That's why he's not seen. So it'll be very interesting to see what happens in the transfer window, which players are just, you can go.
Yeah.
And there could be some surprising ones there. Mm. And surely now, you said, with these replacements and stuff, and
I mean, we were all talking last week on the show about surely we're going to try and get Ivan Toney. We need a centre forward. Maybe now, the way he came out in that press conference, bigging up Richarlison, maybe he thinks there's your centre forward.
Yeah, I mean, presumably we will go into the market, given that it's his first, well, it's probably his second window, I suppose you'd say, but he's now had a chance to assess the squad.
And we've got the new recruiters there now, haven't we?
We've got the whole new team,
Lang, and so this is their first window, presumably.
Are you hearing anything, Jerry, about what we might do?
Nothing official, but I think they know they were short of a centre-half going into the season, of backup, certainly. Yeah. And Van de Ven's injury is obviously really causing them a problem. Romero's was self-inflicted.
What do you think about Romero? Because he concerns
me. Could have got a red yesterday.
Yeah.
If he hadn't done that tackle yesterday, you'd give him a bit of a chance. But that tackle he did yesterday, that could have been another red.
He does that once or twice every game.
And that would be a four-match ban. And they're going to be looking at him because he got away with one. So
it's a shocking tackle. Wasn't it? One of the worst tackles I've seen this season.
Absolutely.
He did get caught totally in litigation, and it's no excuse for the tackle, but everyone's on his case. There was one incident earlier on where he went down a bit injured, and Joe Linton had come through and caught him on the ankle.
Right.
So, you know, he gets them. It's the heat of battle, and players do it. But he does have a tendency.
Well, I think, but players target him because they know they'll get a reaction. That's our whole.
He could become a liability.
I think our whole,
if not already,
the whole season more or less fell apart, albeit hopefully temporarily, because of they got to him in the Chelsea game.
Yeah,
they got to him. They wound him up. And it was, I'm certain that was their plan, and it worked a treat, because he's so easily, he's got a screw loose, let's be honest. Yeah. He's unhinged.
I thought,
we need one like that, though.
Graham Roberts was a little bit nutty, wasn't he?
Yeah, but
you liked him in your team.
I don't think Graham Roberts was silly.
I don't think he was malicious in that way.
I saw a pre-season friendly, Spurs played Rangers, and Graham Souness was player manager of Rangers, and Roberts... Souness sort of stood on the ball near the touchline, and we were right behind it. And you could, it was almost like this sort of cartoon when a bull is charging and the sort of steam starts coming out of his nostrils, and he takes this run up, and he went flying through, both feet through the air, and Souness looked up, leapt in the air, and that's why he avoided a broken leg. He signed him about a month later for Rangers.
You know? That tells you a lot about Graham Souness.
Back then, you could sort of, that was a positive back then, you know. Now, you know, you're not going to get away with it, are you?
Well, that Souness was always buying players like that. Absolutely loved that, didn't they? He bought loads of them at Liverpool.
But presumably they're going to go for a young centre back, because I think the other thing is
Van de Ven's got this hamstring. You just don't know how long. He did have one before last year.
Right.
So you don't know whether he's good for the rest of the season if he comes back in, let's say, January, February.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think you need cover there. You need cover for a quick centre-back. Phillips they brought in, haven't they, who's one for the future.
Yeah.
But maybe they'll go for a ready-made. I mean, you know, there are a few people who are sort of a little bit thought that letting Sanchez go early on, and just at the last
bit hasty
into the transfer window, was that necessary? Because if you remember, he came on for Romero in the opening game of Brentford and did really well.
Did well.
You know, so you don't know that he might, if he was around now, he could be playing in that team doing okay.
I'm sure he would have played when they were playing, Emerson Royale and Davis as a central defensive pair.
Lloyd Kelly is the one that we keep being linked with. Do you know much about him at Bournemouth?
I have to be I don't know a lot about him, but, you know, listen, I know that they always like to buy proven Premier League players, and you know, players with a sort of English passport helps as well with the quota system. So it wouldn't surprise me. And you know, it's always a cliche, but it's a difficult time to go and buy players, top players in that window. So I wouldn't expect them to.
But do you think Foster will be given the freedom to buy who he wants?
Yeah.
As opposed to the players being chosen by committee, inverted commas.
I mean, he knows them, and there's a link with Lang. So and they kind of do know each other.
Yeah. They've worked together before, because a lot of it's a City Group link, isn't it? Because Postecoglou worked for Melbourne, and he worked in Japan. Japan for the City Group. Lang worked for the City Group, and of course Scott Munn, who is the the head of football. So they have a pre-existing relationship, which hopefully means that they won't be at odds when they're choosing players.
And also, the man who signs the checks, the one that quite a few Spurs fans 6 months ago couldn't wait to see leave the building. He's had the massive reprieve because of Postecoglou.
Oh, totally, yes. Yeah.
And so he must appreciate that now he's got a manager that you want to keep on side for the long term.
Yeah,
but a team that's not far away from actually being a very, very good team.
But we've had teams that are not far away before, and he hasn't backed them, has he? We've had that. I mean, the Redknapp team, famously, the famous, Nelson and Sahar.
But there's supposedly money there. I mean, I don't know how it works out, how they proportion stuff, but you know, Kane was sold late in the day. That surely some of that money is still sitting there.
They said that money had been spent earlier in the window anyway.
Sorry, we spent that already.
They knew he was going, obviously. Yeah.
So we've seen him before. We've seen Poch, you know, get very close and not quite be backed over the line. We've seen Redknapp get very close and not be backed over the line. So this is a big test. I mean, it's different circumstances, different personnel, more money in the game, maybe more money in the club. The club seems to be flourishing and selling out every single game. We've got all this stuff coming up off the pitch, which seems to be going very well. So hopefully the money's there, but it's whether he can...
And I don't think they're looking for sort of 70, massive, 80 yeah. million pound signings. No. It's not like, let's say, Liverpool, when they realised they needed a top-class goalkeeper and a top-class centre-back, and they bought Alisson and Van Dijk, and that turned them into champions, you know, and they won the Champions League and the Premier League. Two massive signings for a lot of money, you know. It's not like that that's going to change Tottenham. It's about just having really strong backup of the right players. Yeah. And he obviously likes young players who buy into his system, a bit like Poch did a few years ago.
Yeah.
So you're talking about buying promising players who are going to back up rather than straight into the
And he's brought these new recruitment people in because now all the clubs, very much including the big clubs, are looking at Brighton and Brentford, aren't they, and saying that's the way to recruit by, you know, cheap, through intelligence.
Without having to break the bank.
Yeah. Yeah. And in a way, Van de Ven and Udogi and Saar, players like that, are the sort of players that have come through at Brentford and Brighton. Players that were under the radar, none of us have heard of them.
They've extended his contract today, Udogi.
Yeah, Udogi's contract's been extended. Good job as well, because those three, I mean, they are extraordinary. They're so good. I mean, they're top level.
And you can only get better.
And they're so young, they'll get better.
Continuing to play with each other.
Yeah.
You can see, Saar, I perhaps didn't give enough credit to as well yesterday, but he makes Basuma better as well.
Absolutely.
And he gets all over the pitch.
Absolutely.
And he allows,
I
mean, I know they highlighted it on Match of the Day, but he got back, he allows Porro to come inside because was it Gordon who's, you know, everyone's talking about Gordon as a possible England player.
Yeah.
He was away on the left. Saar made up so much ground to go and dispossess him and then take the mickey out of him and come back because Porro, as the right back, has come so far inside. So it allows the system to work when you've got young, energetic, athletic, quick players.
I totally agree that Saar and Basuma together are brilliant. They're more than the sum of their parts. They're both brilliant individually, but together they're incredible. And that's why the African nations is such a bummer. But anyway, before we talk about the next game, which we've got on Friday evening, let's take a quick break.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For premium content, by the way, including a daily news show, ex-player interviews and original documentary series on Spurs, go to patreon.com/Spurs Show and support our show in the process. There's loads of lovely Spurs Show merchandise. There are new T-shirt designs, including a Postecoglou tribute, which may or may not involve a kangaroo, and a host of other eye-catching merchandise. Check it all out and be the envy of your friends. Our monthly London live shows, as everyone here knows, are up and running. We've had some really good ones recently. David House was great recently. Gary Mabbott, brilliant. It's a great time to sign up at season.spursshow.net. On January the 31st, we've got the return of Terry Nutty Naylor, who is always fantastic value. We've got others to be confirmed for February. And then on March the 20th, we've got a Spurs Show evening with Paul Gascoigne.
Yeah, that's going to be amazing.
We are so excited to get Gazza. We've been trying to get
him. Let's hope he shows.
For so many years, we've been trying to get Gazza. We're absolutely beside ourselves. For individual show tickets, if you're not a season ticket holder, it'd be a great time to become one, given that news. But for individual show tickets, check out the link to the description of this podcast. In the description of this podcast, and you can get Gazza tickets as Christmas presents for yourself and loved ones. Follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, and please leave us a nice review on Apple Podcasts, because that helps to spread the word.
The Gazza tickets, I think we've sold over half of them now, so if you are thinking about coming, you're listening at home, whatever, or you want to get some extras here in the room, I'd get them in the next few weeks, I think.
Get them while you can. Yeah. Next Monday, we return with Ben Bowman, Sean Singleton and Kat Lucas. Mm-hmm. And over Christmas, we will still be recording. And you can hear our next show with Paul and Clive Allen, the one we're about to do here tonight, as well as a special tribute show we're putting together on Terry Venables. Mm. So that'll be available over the festive period. Gentlemen, Nottingham Forest away.
We're not going to talk about West Ham, are we? We're literally not going
to
bother.
Have we got to talk about that? No, we haven't talked about it. Yeah. All right, let's talk about West Ham. West Ham had 25%.
It's your fault.
25% possession they had, and they still managed to win. How happy were their little faces of their fans?
How are your brothers, Theo? Oh, you've got two brothers.
Well, we have a rule, because it used to end in fisticuffs years ago, so we don't, it's never said. Oh, there's no gloating.
So no, you don't message each other, nothing?
Nothing is
really?
Said.
Really?
Nothing before.
Wow.
I mean, we nearly kicked off even quite recently, a couple of years ago it nearly kicked off, when I'm quite mistakenly brought it up. I didn't even realise I'd done it. And you're
almost grown men, aren't you?
Well, exactly. Exactly. My mum had to ban Sabutio. It was terrible. Anyway, their little faces, though, when they won West Ham, they couldn't believe it. They'd
None
hardly had the
it.
Ball. They'd hardly had the ball. Both goals were comedy goals, weren't they? Out of the circus. The ricochets and the rebounds.
I didn't see the game, but I saw the goals.
Oh.
And I thought, West Ham. They should pay their rent on their ground. I'm tired of being subsidised.
We're all subsidised.
You know, as a taxpayer.
Yeah.
I was talking to Norman earlier, and I said, all the positives about Postecoglou's era this season and everything. And I said, but if you include Thursday night, we really have got our Spurs back. That was absolute classic.
First half was the best I think we played this season. Yeah. First half, I thought we were fantastic. Mm.
This was the recurring theme, wasn't it? We were brilliant against Aston Villa. I think the XG, as they say, against Villa was higher than any of them. They're the team that everyone's the real press darlings at the moment. Villa's everyone. Oh, Villa! They're going to put in a title. We absolutely murdered them first half, and then West Ham we did the same, and Chelsea of course we did for half an hour. We absolutely tore them to pieces for half an hour.
It's a funny old league this season, though. You know, it's every week it's turning out results of me. You go, how did that happen?
Yeah.
You know, and given that context is the reason why I wasn't really disappointed that Spurs had gone 3 on the bounce without winning.
We played a lot of the big sides.
Yeah.
If you do think ahead of the season, think it's the most open Premier League season in years, which if you look at the positions,
looks
the points,
like it
looks like it.
Yeah.
We've played now all the major teams. We haven't played, I wouldn't count United now.
No,
we beat. Oh, yeah, of course we did. So we've kind of, we're in a good position in that respect.
Yeah.
You know?
No,
I mean,
if we buy well in the transfer window.
But that's again, to bolster the classic squad. Spurs, isn't it? We beat, you know, we've done well against the big sides, Wolves, West Ham, you know, Villa, who weren't very good on the day, and you know, still aren't massively convincing, but they they've got a way of winning games.
The thing is, we played well in pretty much every game. I mean, the Wolves game wasn't great, but that was the one where we were most hampered by injuries, and we had all sorts of problems in that, and we still looked like we were going to win going into time added on, didn't we? And so that went well. But basically,
the positive
well.
Is, I think they'll learn from these. You know, Postecoglou, I think, will learn from that. It's interesting that he's dropped Lo Celso, who scored a couple of goals. But there's something about Lo Celso's game which is maybe he gets caught in possession a little bit easily. He certainly did for one of the goals against Wolves when he was probably overplaying it a bit in midfield.
I think he has that extra touch, which you look at his style,
and he got caught.
His movement. Yeah. He does slow things down slightly.
There was one moment he got caught,
I think, in that style of football.
Caught on the ball yesterday, and I think maybe, you know, now Postecoglou sees what the players do and thinks, okay, well, maybe he's not one for me long term, you know. So that turned out to be a good decision to change it yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, departures. We're talking about the January transfer window. One of the things, there's what we need, what we'd like, but also vacancies that might occur because of players moving on. But, I mean, they're talking about Barcelona wanting Lo Celso. And there've also been a lot of talk of Højbjerg maybe leaving. So if Højbjerg leaves and Bissouma and Sarr off in the African Nations, then we're really light in central midfield.
With Bentancur not back for a while.
And Bentancur's not going to be back
I don't think they'd sell a player in a key position when they're going to be light, well, even for a couple of months.
Unless they've got someone lined up. Mm. Unless they think there are available options and get the money and spend the money. I mean, I don't know if they're...
I think if you're being smart, you wait until the end of the season. It's a much better time to do your transfer business. So players like Højbjerg and Lo Celso...
They're keeping for cover.
I can't see any way they'll go... Well, I don't think it would make sense to sell him this win this January. Mm-hmm. Much more at the end of the season when he's had a full season under his belt. Mm. And you can see the progression of some of the young players coming in, you know. Don Lee got his debut, didn't he? And
He's played come on in the last two games.
And... who's the other one I'm thinking of? Villiers. You know, they were thinking he'd be a player to start coming in the second half of the season.
Really?
Maybe he will. You know, he may not be needed that much as a sort of powerful centre forward, good in the air and all of that. A very young player, isn't he?
Yeah.
I think those young players will step up.
And I think so with all of that, they'll want to see a season worth of how they're developing. And then look at next summer and say, again, with the new team in place, let's see where we can afford to sell players and where we need to bring in. Doing it in January doesn't make a lot of sense. Bringing in one or two reinforcements.
We'll be FA Cup winners by then.
Love to hear it.
Talking of winning the FA Cup, it's Nottingham Forest next. That's the last time we won the bloody thing. Yeah. It was against Forest. Yeah. You must have some memories about Tottenham-Nottingham Forest clashes.
Yeah, I've seen many clashes. My first trip to Forest was in the 1971-72 season.
Wow.
Still got the football classifieds with all the results on it that you used to get miraculously 20 minutes after the game.
It was the pink paper, wasn't
it?
It
was something like that.
The Midlands.
Yeah, I've got a few. Paper. Managed to salvage a few of them. But, Forest was always a moody place to go.
Let's say.
But, you know, we've had many good victories there. And you probably all recall the night we went up there in the FA Cup and it got snowed off.
Yeah.
The blizzard.
Yeah.
And you couldn't get in or out at Nottingham that night. Oh, madness. And we were all over them. Do you remember that? And then suddenly a blanket of snow came down and they called it off while the game was on. So I don't even think there was a second half.
Yeah. Jerry Francis manager then, was it?
I can't remember who was managing then.
It was certainly... early 90s.
Jerry was the manager
because mid-90s,
I was watching it. I was watching on the TV, and they had a little Perspex dugout on the edge of the pitch, but Jerry was sitting outside it. And you know, he had this lovely flowing long which are now very great.
I think you're probably right.
But he wouldn't go inside the dugout because he was the most superstitious manager in the business. And that was one... They'd won the previous game where he sat outside the dugout.
Right.
So he wouldn't go back in. And the snow just came down and down and down. And he looked more like a snowman. Because it was piling up on his body. And that was Jerry to a T.
Yeah.
So superstitious.
I think that went wrong for us in the end, didn't it? They played it again. Yeah. I think we drew and then lost a replay, if I remember. Do you remember losing a penalty shootout in a replay?
Yeah. Something like
Crossley
that.
Saving it and running the full length of White Hart Lane.
Yeah.
Never... I hated him for that.
Hate's a strong word.
I mean, his manager's under. I mean, the fans all love the manager. The fans all love him. And I think if they lost to Wolves at the weekend, that was him gone.
Yeah, because the owner's not sure. But they're safe.
They're 5 points off relegation. So you think they're...
Yeah, and they had a period like this last season, and he nearly sacked him, and the crowd really, really made it very clear they didn't want him gone, and they still love him because they know what he achieved.
I mean, he took them from the relegation zone.
Absolutely, he took them straight into the Premier League. And they also know that this owner, he just buys players. He's like a kid in a sweet shop. I mean, he just buys players, and says, you know, make it work. And it's tough for Cooper. I think everybody rates him. But they're going through a tough time, and it'll be interesting that night. They'll either get the crowd, will make it
it's
really
a Friday
difficult.
Night game, isn't it?
Friday night. The atmosphere, which you know, for atmosphere, it could be quite... it could be. I mean, they do get the atmosphere going there. I mean, last season I remember us going there, and we got a result. But the crowd, I mean, they really get going. And it could be tough from that point of view. But on the other hand, maybe their confidence is low. Maybe they'll feel the pressure.
And, you know, I know it's a cliche again, but you get the early goal to quieten the crowd.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
And Spurs are good at getting the early goal. That's what we do. You know, I mean, that's the last few games, even the defeats, score first.
Yeah.
So that might help. You know, one or maybe two early on, and then it shuts the crowd up a bit, and that would help.
Yeah, Brennan Johnson going back.
He was very good again yesterday. Wasn't he? Very good.
He gets better every game.
And they like him there, you know.
Yeah, they loved him there.
Yeah, so he's not going to go back and get boos and whistles and all that. You know, he was a hugely popular player, and I think they all saw that, you know, it wasn't a bitter move that he went to Tottenham. It was a sort of step up for him.
Yeah.
So I don't think he'll get any grief going back, and obviously he'll want to do well.
Yeah.
And I think he's getting better and better. He's starting to look like a really good Tottenham player, isn't he?
Absolutely.
But the real measure will be if he scores against them, how he celebrates.
Yeah. Well, where are you on that, Norman?
I like him. Yeah, all that sort of new young breed of athletic, you know, footballers, I like him. I mean, even before we signed him, as I was saying to you earlier, I look at him and think, he looks like a Tottenham player to me. I'd say that about a lot of players around, think, you know, if I ruled the world, you'd be playing for Tottenham.
I think we're going to win quite
well, I mean, we should, on paper, we should be far too good for them, shouldn't we? Yeah. Given their league position, given the form they've been on, they haven't won for a while.
We need to go on a good run again. I think
we need to concentrate at the back.
The Everton coming up. We've got Brighton before Everton,
I think. At home. No, yeah. I think it's Everton at home before Christmas. Brighton just after Christmas away,
right.
Which is then Bournemouth. Potentially tough. Bournemouth at home.
Yeah,
but winnable. Really, you look at those games and you look at if we can play the way we've been playing... Mm. Well, yeah, the way we've been playing. I mean, we should get two or three wins at least out of those. I mean, maybe, you know,
we shouldn't
maybe
be losing
10
to any
points.
Of those teams. We shouldn't be losing to any of those teams.
No.
We shouldn't lose
even
Everton.
Brighton. I mean,
Everton are playing well.
Everton are playing well.
Yeah.
But they've got to come to us. And again, we're just on sheer quality. Mm. We should have too much for them, shouldn't we? You would have thought. Does anything about Nottingham Forest worry you, Jerry?
Well, there's nothing that worries me particularly, but it's more about Tottenham. Really.
Yeah,
you know, that's what worries me is which Tottenham turn up. Yeah, you're right. On paper, they ought to win, and you sort of hope they've learnt a few hard truths in the last few weeks, which are the games that you might expect to win. You don't, you know, Wolves and West Ham, particularly those two, maybe. But yeah, as long as they show, and I think he's very good at keeping them grounded. As long as they show the sort of, you know, determination to go out.
I think an early strike from us.
Early goal.
Which, as we said,
we tend to get.
Yeah.
We tend to go out and go at them.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to look whether...
And we can defend.
Has Aurier been playing for him?
Yeah, he's regular, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he captained him a few times last season, which is an extraordinary thought, isn't it? Mm. I mean, I'm still slightly mystified why we let Aurier go for not actually... More or less paid him to go away. But didn't we? We cancelled his contract and said, look, you know, we're basically asking you to leave. Here's some money, and now he's playing regularly in the Premier League. Does
he
seem
wasn't,
odd
he wasn't good
he
enough.
Wasn't great.
No, he wasn't.
But normally you expect to sell a player like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, well, they did
given
it with them,
given where he's ended
they?
Up.
They did it with Doherty,
and they did it with Doherty as well. It does seem odd. They both ended up playing in the Premier League.
Yeah, but otherwise you end up in a situation like maybe Chelsea have been recently, where you've just got a lot of players who aren't good enough to make the first team, and they're sitting around, you know,
drawing wage.
Well, before we talk about predictions for Nottingham Forest, you've mentioned Chelsea. I do think, but should we just have 2 minutes on Pochettino and Chelsea? Norman, what do you think?
I'm over Pochettino.
Yeah,
took a long time.
Yeah,
and during his first one or two opening games, there was a little bit of sympathy there. But I think my hatred of Chelsea overran.
Has jumped in.
Agent Poch.
Yeah.
But if they give him time there, he will sort them out, I think.
He doesn't look happy there, does he?
No, he's not.
You
he's
see him. He doesn't have that glint in the eye. He looks like the he's but got the troubles as well on his shoulders. He does.
I don't think managers... It looks like the most horrible place to work.
It's a dysfunctional club on several levels. And, I mean, you could have Pep Guardiola going in there, and I still don't think they'd be a winning machine. Yeah. I think there's a lot of work to be done there. I thought he'd get it right eventually.
I think so too.
But I didn't think they'd be quite as bad as they are now. Yeah. I thought by now they'd start to get on a bit of a run. Yeah.
When you think of the great players that Chelsea have had in their, you know, in their pomp, amazing players, you think, oh, and we never really looked like under Poch that we'd beat them. You know, it was just always against us. If you remember those games, especially at Stamford Bridge and the Battle of the Bridge, yeah, I was there that night with my restricted view ticket.
But still cross about that.
Yes. Had to pay full price for that. I hope he gets it right. It's a little bit of me that will always have a little bit...
I hope he gets it right, but not at Chelsea.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Yeah, well, maybe that's the thing.
Yeah.
And just talking of old managers, yesterday at half-time, as we were leaving the press box going down, David Pleat was going down.
Who,
on the show not that long ago, you know, and fantastic Tottenham man. I mean, the club. And
Birkinshaw was there as well.
General Birkinshaw was there too, yeah.
David was there. And I said, what do you think, David? And he said, I love the way this team are playing.
Yeah.
I just love watching this team. So, you know, you've got an endorsement by a man who created one of the most successful and entertaining teams in certainly in the recent years.
Which we'll be talking about shortly.
Absolutely.
Clive and Paul both, and of course, in that extraordinary side.
Yeah.
He was a Forest man. He played at Forest, didn't he? So he always had that attachment to Forest. So I'm sure he'll be watching that game with interest as well.
No doubt about it. Let's make some predictions. Let's make fools of ourselves. With rash predictions for the score. Jerry first.
Well, 2-1 is what I said for the Villa game. It went the other way. 2-1 is the most common score in football. I'll go 4-1 Spurs.
Norman?
I'll go 2-1 Spurs.
Okay. Mike?
5-1 Spurs.
Oh, no, he's done it.
I've done it again.
Oh, no. All right, I'm going to say 3-0 to Tottenham.
Okay.
Yeah. Norman, Jerry, Mike, thank you all very, very, very much. I've enjoyed this a lot. Stick around, guys, because soon on this very stage we're going to see Paul and Clive Allen. But for now, thank you very much. All that we need to say is, come on, you Spurs!
If you want to advertise on or sponsor this show, check us out at playbackmedia.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.